Morning. Could you open your Bibles to the book of Haggai? I struggle with pronunciation. I've always said something else, so I'm going to try and pronounce it as it should be pronounced. When I got up this morning and was having breakfast, turned on my phone, and there's a message sent at 4:22 this morning. Friends of ours had visited a couple weeks ago. They now live in Cornwall. They were living in Guelph. They moved to Cornwall to be close to two of their daughters living in Quebec, and she just sent a quick email to Joan saying that Dave had had a heart attack. So if you remember Dave, Lindsay, and your thoughts this week, just pray for him. When we look at this book, especially the first chapter of Haggai, the question needs to be asked, because the word consider is mentioned a few times. It says, consider your ways. And the question needs to be asked, will you serve the Lord? This book is the second shortest. Obadiah is the shortest book. This one, two chapters, 38 verses. Chapter 2 and verse 6 is quoted in Hebrews 12:26. And one of the last times I spoke, I talked about Nehemiah. And in the book of Nehemiah, there's also reference to Ezra. And even here, looking at this portion of Scripture, Ezra is there in the book of Ezra mentioned several verses regarding the building of the temple. The Babylonians were in exile. They were taken captive and had to spend 70 years. And because of the country they were living in, they had certain privileges, and they got used to living there. And so when they returned, it was only a small remnant. For example, say around 30,000 Jews that returned back to the land. But God wanted something from them. He wanted them to work on rebuilding the temple. Discouragement reigns. Many Jews were content to remain in Babylon. Because they were allowed to establish businesses, they were able to build houses, the children were secure. Their question was, why leave? We have a good life here. But that's not the plan that God wanted for them. So let's read through the chapter. Haggai, verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you was stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Our God and Father, we are thankful for the reading of your precious word. We pray that as your word is shared, spoken, that the Holy Spirit will take your word and speak to each of our hearts, from the speaker to those that are here in this room. And Father, that you indeed will be glorified, that your name would be honored. We thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that, as was mentioned earlier, we still have the freedom in this country to come and meet together, to come and worship, and to come and open your precious word. So we commit this time to you, giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God is calling his people to rebuild the temple. He's calling them to put the work of God first. There should have been renewed courage in the Lord because of the children of Israel, because of the Jews and all that they suffered and went through, even from the time when God said, I'm going to give you a promised land. They were going to go to that land. He was going to lead them. And yet, we know because of their idolatry, because of their disobedience, because of their sinfulness, it took them several years in the wilderness, and God there was trying to teach them and show them not only his love, but his care for them. Throughout the life of the children of Israel, it seemed to be a constant need for God to come alongside, to encourage them, to bring them back to himself. And just as many today, they were rebellious. They were tempted by the things they saw around them. And so it was very difficult for them to see that God loved them in such a way that he was going to provide and meet their every need. We have, if you read many passages in the Old Testament, and certainly I know I've been reading some scripture passages. When I look at the choice gleanings, there's scriptures from three different books. Right now in the book of Exodus, in the Psalms, and in the book of Acts, reading through those, and I've been pleasantly surprised that when I look through the book, read through the book of Exodus, those portions, and then reading the Psalms on that same day, that how God is using His Word throughout Scripture to encourage and to challenge the people of God. And a lot of what I've been reading in Exodus, it's very often repeated in the book of the Psalms. So it's been encouraging to me in that way. But again, the people, and as I say, today as well, even those who belong to the Lord, oftentimes we get caught up in our own lives and we neglect to give our whole lives and ourselves to what God wants from us. When we look at verse, throughout even in these verses that were read, you notice that the word of the Lord mentioned over and over. But also in verse 2 it says the Lord of hosts. And in this portion, or in this book, these two chapters, it's mentioned 14 times. The word of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, is the name of God we find used in Scripture when a man or woman is at the end of the rope, so to speak. Jehovah Sabaoth is a strong tower which God has made available for those times when we fail and are powerless, when our resources are inadequate, when there is no other help. It indicates His majesty and glory as the Lord of the hosts of heaven and earth. It signifies His sovereignty, and thus He demands complete obedience. So the Lord of hosts, mentioned 14 times in these 38 verses. When we come to verse 2, it says, this people say. Sometimes we have to read the word of God carefully. Most places, God will say, my people. But here, He says, this people. Because of His displeasure, and because He wants to reprove them, because they are distant from Him. It also implies that they had forfeited the right to be called His people because of their indifference to rebuilding His house. And so in verse 3 again, it says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, the paneled walls and ceilings, and this house lie waste? They had become so comfortable in what they possessed. Not just, you know, maybe a regular bungalow or something, but really nice homes. And this was how they were spending their time and effort on material things. And God doesn't deprive us of having material things. But He still wants us to be putting Him first. In their case, they were so consumed with what they had that all their time and effort was spent looking after their homes. And He says this house, that is His temple that He wanted built, was lying waste. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And hymn 356 says, the title of it is, have you any room for Jesus? Have you any room for Jesus, He who bore your load of sin? As He knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let Him in? Notice verse 2. Room for pleasure. Room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Have you any room for Jesus as in grace he calls again? Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and thy Savior's pleading cease. The people had an opportunity. They were asked when they came back to the land to build a temple, to rebuild the temple. And in Ezra, there are scripture verses that mention that the foundation had been done. Just like to read Ezra chapter 1, from chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, The Lord God of heaven shall give me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem. So here was a king that was willing and had encouraged the building of the temple at Jerusalem. It says, which is in Judah, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And not going to read verses 3 to 5 from Ezra 3, but in Ezra 3, starting verse 8, the latter part of verse 8, down to 13, all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the son of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Verse 11, and they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people showed it with a great shout, when they praise the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice. Many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Older men, they had seen the first building many, many years ago. Now when they saw the foundation being laid for this temple to be built, they wept. So there was weeping, there was much joy. And so from here, we know that the foundation was laid. But what was going to happen to the people? Verse 5, now therefore saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. This is what he's talking about. Ye have so much, bring in little. They were blessed. And just as today, I'm sure when farmers go out on the field, when they sow the seed and they plant the crops, they expect a good harvest. But here it says even though they sowed much, they brought in very little. They had lots to eat, but for them it was not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Just their money just was lost. When I think of this portion that says, ye clothe you, but there's none warm. Remember that when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, we read there that all the time they were there, their clothes, sandals, they lasted for this length of time. But here, because they were indifferent to the things of the Lord, because they wanted to lead their own lifestyle and have very little to do with the Lord, even though they had much, yet for them it was very little. They, even the wages they earned, it was as though they were putting it into a bag with holes. Matthew 6:25-34 says this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Verse 33, again, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what God was requiring of those people, wanting them to put him first in their lives. Even those that were coming back to the country, coming back to supposedly build the temple for the Lord. And so in verse 5 he says, consider your ways. In verse 7 it says, then saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. When verse 5 and 6, when we look at these, it's things that the people did, and yet they found there was a lot lacking. In verse 7, the Lord says, Lord of hosts says, consider your ways. And he encourages them. In verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified, saith the Lord. And as we look through even these verses in chapter 1, it says, I will take pleasure in it, I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Verse 9, it says, I did blow upon it, I called for a drought upon the land. And then as we go to verse 13, it says, I am with you. And so we find that the Lord is indeed asking them to consider your ways. He wanted them to go up and bring wood to build a house because it will give him pleasure, because he will be glorified. And verse 9 says, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. Referencing back to verse 6. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Again, consider your ways. There was no harvest for them. Only when God's things are first is there something lasting. Consider your ways. You know, in the Christian life, there are times when the Lord does have to chastise us, to discipline us, in order to make us more like himself. And some of the things we may find harsh, but if we look at what he desires of us, then we know that he is wanting the best for us. He will take pleasure in the building of his house. He will be glorified. But because of their thinking and their reasoning and their wanting to spend time in their own homes and look after their own things, he says, you look for much and it came to little. When ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Verse 10, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. The Lord, even as we read in Matthew 6, is able to bless us if we serve him, if we live for him. And verse 11 says, and I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. There was no blessing for the people. But heaven's blessing is the key to earthly success. Consider your ways. This is what the Lord wants us to do as well here today. Consider, you know, what the Lord wants of you, even in your career, even in your perhaps a life mate, you know, just where you want to fellowship and the friends you have, the neighborhood you live in. God is able to bless you where you are, but he wants obedience. He wants you to consider your ways. So we have in these 11 verses, there is exhortation, there is encouragement, but there is also a challenge. Then as we look at the last few verses from verse 12 on, it should be encouragement. Verse 12 says, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. The heart's response, finally, was obedience and reverence. That's what he requires of us as well. Obedience and reverence. Obey the voice of the Lord their God. And the people did fear or reverence before the Lord. Verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. We need the Lord's presence with us. You remember in Scripture, Moses said, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, then do not lead us on. We need the presence of God in our lives. Verse 14 says, And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Finally, they obeyed, they reverenced, and they went to work. They came and did the work in the house of the Lord, their God. In the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So here we have a practical response. Jeremiah 42:11 says, Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. We've already read verse 13 of chapter 1, but in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. In Matthew 28:20, it says, Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. John 13:33 says, Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. And to us, in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, he says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What an encouragement. God had to speak and discipline his people because of their materialistic ways, of what they wanted to achieve for themselves, forgetting about the things of the Lord, forgetting how he brought them out time and again, forgetting how he drew them back to himself time and again. Finally came to the point where they were willing to be obedient, willing to reference the Lord, willing to acknowledge that indeed the Lord was with them and he was going to help them. We read in Ezra about Cyrus the king of Persia and how the Lord used this king to proclaim that they could go and they could build this house. Amazing that this particular king would be persuaded by God to allow the people to go back and to build. We may not know what lies ahead for us in the day to come, but we can know that the Lord is certainly watching over us. One of the hymns that I'd like us to sing, hymn number 588, it's called "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And when I think of verse 2, verse 2 says, "Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle." The Lord of hosts, this is the one that we can serve. This is the one that even today we can consider our ways as we seek to serve Him. Hymn number 588, "Thankful for Your Word Going Forth This Day." We pray that the Holy Spirit would take it and impart it to each of us, Lord, what we need to hear, what we need to listen to and to obey. So, Father, we pray that You be with us for the balance of this day. We commit ourselves to You and give You thanks and praise once again for Your love and also for Your well-beloved Son, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You in His name. Amen.